Well then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A young woman who is pregnant will have a son and will name him Emmanuel. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Good morning, everybody. Good to welcome you to our Christmas or pre-Christmas cafe-style service this morning. Hopefully the lighting of the candles problems aren't going to kind of be a sort of a sign of what might go wrong as we go through the service this morning. You know, it's always, you never quite know that. Got a number of different things planned this morning, and the children are going to be doing something later on in the service, but at the moment we haven't got actually many young people here at the moment, so I'm hoping that more will kind of emerge as we go on. So, sorry? Yeah, exactly. So if there are no proper young people, we want some young... And then after that, Seth's going to come and read to us from Luke.
26 to 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph and a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this could be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Thank you, Seth. Let's just try to spend a moment or two just committing our time now to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning for bringing us all here. Lord, we know that we're all very busy at the moment, Lord, and with preparations for Christmas, practical things, wrapping of presents, doing the shopping, visiting people, Christmas services, looking after people, Lord. There's lots of things, Father, that we're involved in on our day-to-day life. But we do pray, Father, this morning that perhaps just for this next hour we might just put it aside and spend some time just considering the Christmas story. That you might speak to us and help us to understand why you sent your Son Jesus to this earth. That we might pause again and wonder, Lord, at the miracle of the virgin birth. Father, be with us today. Help us to understand these things. So, Lord, when we go from here, Lord, we might just start our Christmas celebrations off on the right foot, and to put you, Lord, at the centre of all our celebrations these next few days. We just ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, that reading that Seth read a few moments ago was about Jesus being announced by the angel to Mary, wasn't it? About the birth. And I suspect it was quite a surprise to Mary to, A, to have a visit from an angel, and secondly, what the angel told Mary. Now, are you somebody that likes surprises or don't like surprises? So hands up those of you who like surprises. Who likes surprises? Okay. Right, hands up those of you who definitely don't like surprises. Oh, well, let's see. It all depends, doesn't it, really, what the surprise is. You know, sometimes we like surprises. I quite like surprises. But I must admit, I'm one of these who like to ask a lot of questions to find out exactly what the surprise might be, so that it's not quite such a surprise as it's intended to.
Andy Hunter's Christmas.
What was that?
Andy Hunter for your Christmas present.
I hunt for my... No, I do not. That's a fib, that is. Anyway, one of the things that we often have at Christmas that... have surprises in them is a Christmas cracker. Now, I have to admit, these Christmas crackers have been sitting on the top of our kitchen cupboards for about the last 10 years.
So I am not guaranteeing whether they're going to work or not. But I thought we might just use the Christmas cracker this morning as an illustration, really, to help us just to think about the Christmas story and about what it is. I wonder if you're going to volunteer who'd like to come and to pull the Christmas cracker. Come on then, Seth. Actually, we've got two volunteers. Who'd like to pull the Christmas cracker with Seth? Who'd like to come and... Right. I'll tell you what, so that you both get something out of it, you can pull a cracker each, right? Right, so...
There's going to be a catch to this. There's going to be... Okay, first thing is...
Right.
A bookmark.
Okay.
Then a pink Christmas hat.
Hat?
Oh, dad joke.
Right, come on then, tell us the joke. Why did the mechanic sleep under the car? Anybody?
He wanted to get up oily in the morning. That's really bad.
Right, you're going to put your hat on, Seth.
Is it going to fit?
Is it alternating?
Oh, it's not been...
Brilliant. And what was the Christmas bookmark, was it? Right. Right, do you want to do one for Leah now?
3, 2, 1... I purposely used that's very, the very good. I could.
You've obviously got a left-handed cracker, I reckon, there. So, what have you got then, Leah?
A hat.
A yellow one.
Do you like yellow?
I'd like yellow, yeah.
Good.
Do you want to smile?
Oh. What's that?
You aren't with pink, are you?
Yeah.
A moustache.
Yeah.
Like, you look like a policeman, don't you? Hello, how are
you? What do you get if you cross a fish and two elephants?
What do you get if you cross a fish and two elephants? Anybody?
Swimming trunks.
And what was your gift?
The moustache.
Oh, the moustache, yeah.
Yes.
Good. Right, thank both of you. Give them both a clap. In every cracker that I've ever known, you always get, there's three things, isn't there, in a cracker. The first thing, normally, is... the joke, isn't it, or the motto, or whatever it happens to be. And it just reminds us, doesn't it really, that when at Christmas time, it's a time for us to think about the Word of God, isn't it? The fact that God sent Jesus into the world, and the fact that Jesus' birth was planned many, many thousands of years ago. You know, it's not something that just happened by accident. And it was well prepared. If you look in the Old Testament, there's lots of references, isn't there, really, to when the coming of Jesus and the things that were going to happen up to his birth. And of course, the very last thing that happened just before Jesus was born was that the angel appeared to Mary and told her in some detail about what was going to happen. So we need to remember that it's important for us to read our Bibles, to look at the reason as to why God sent Jesus and the plans and the very careful preparations that he made in the run-up to the birth of Jesus. So the motto, the joke, if you like, is the first thing, and the thing that's written on a piece of paper. The second thing is the gift, isn't it? And Leah had a moustache, and Seth, wouldn't you have a bookmark, didn't you, actually? Yeah. And depending on how much you pay for your cracker, it depends on the quality of the gift, doesn't it? I think if you get some of the gifts, that the crackers from Harrods or somewhere, I think, you know, there's some pretty expensive gifts that you get in them. But of course, the gift in the cracker reminds us that Jesus is God's gift to us, isn't it? That God, it says in the Bible, doesn't it, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him should not die, but have everlasting life. And Jesus is given to us as a free gift, isn't he? And he's available to anyone who wants to accept him as their Lord and Saviour. And it's unfortunate, I think, isn't it, today, that all of the other things that go on at Christmas, you know, you ask somebody, you stop somebody in the street and say, well, you know, what's Christmas all about? You know, people will talk about presents and food and drink and lots and lots of other things as well, but not many people will talk about Jesus. So I think we need to remember that as we come together at this Christmas time, that we need to make sure that Jesus is the very centre, and if people ask us about what Christmas means to us, that we can tell them that Jesus is God's gift to us at Christmas time. So what was the third thing? Can you remember what the third thing in the cracker was? It's a hat. And 9 times out of 10, it's a crown, isn't it? Very often it's a paper crown that people have. And of course a crown is worn by a king, which reminds us that Jesus is our king, isn't he? And he doesn't want just to become a gift, something that we use at Christmas and then kind of discard and forget about it the rest of the year. He wants to be king of our lives and for us to put him first in everything that we do. So I just thought I'd use that little illustration this morning of the cracker just to remind us that, you know, that Jesus' birth was planned many, many years ago by God. And it's not something that's happened by accident. It's part of God's plan, isn't it, to save the world. And secondly, he sent Jesus into the world as our gift for us to receive him and to take him on board. And thirdly, to remind us that Jesus is our King. Right, we're going to sing again now. We're going to sing another carol, Once in Royal David City, which again reminds us that it was not by accident that they chose Bethlehem, was it, for the place for Jesus to be born as a descendant of the house of David.
good King Wenceslas, that's got green, hasn't it?
But isn't that more about sharing our blessings with other people rather than what we can bring Jesus? Oh, I know! What about inwardly midwinter? Well, now that's just the intro. Then he goes on about Jesus coming to reign, but humbling himself to be born in a stable, and it talks about the Virgin Mary, then the angels, and the shepherds, and the wise men, and ends with, what can I give him? I'll give him my heart.
What
does
Jesus
mean
my heart for?
Well, look, it's just an expression, isn't it? When you give your heart to someone, it means you're giving them your love, your loyalty, and your commitment.
And this is a traditional Christmas present, isn't it? What do I get in return?
Well, all the things you've given, a plan, and a purpose for your life, and the certainty of eternity in heaven.
That does sound better than
Vicky Pudding. Right, we've made up our minds. We're going to sing In the Bleak Midwinter Night, okay?
Because it's more Jesus-y than that would have been.
Exactly. Right, so off we go.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bring our prayers to you for all other people. We think of those who struggle with this time of the year. It's not togetherness and love for all.
when the pain and emptiness that people feel can be magnified when they are alone. We think of the people around the world who have lost loved ones in wars and conflicts, those in Ukraine and in other parts that do not have peace this Christmas time, those who have lost all personal belongings or are unable to have familiar things and objects that link them to family members and loved ones that are no longer with them. We also think of the places around the world where people live in difficult times, like Chad, where our missionaries do their work for God. We also think, at this time, think of families in this country who are struggling with being in temporary accommodation, so do not have many things to help make this festive season as easy as possible, or those that have left their own homes quickly and do not have their own things and belongings. Bring people comfort and let them feel your love and your strength to deal with all the things that are making their lives difficult. We also bring to you the people who are close to us that need your loving touch to help them deal with all the things that are going on in their lives, those coping with anguish, difficulties and pain. Finally, we ask for your love and strength for all of us in our church family, the people we come together with regularly, for comfort, friendship and spiritual support. We know that there are friends here that need extra love and support, so please wrap your loving arms around those in need. We pray that peace, goodwill and hope of the Christmas story will touch not only our hearts, but also spread your message around the world this festive season and throughout the coming year. Amen.
I'm going to stand behind you so I can see the words as well.
Thank you.
Right, we're going to carry on now, and Martin now is going to come and read to us a second reading now from Matthew and chapter 1, which in a way is linked from the first reading that that Seth gave us.
Yes, the reading is from Matthew 1, 18 to 25, the birth of Jesus Christ, mainly from Joseph's perspective. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Thanks, Sir Martin. That we've had. Talk about names of Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, I'm all interested in names, actually, and I'm sure most of you, probably when you looked into your name, know that it's got a particular meaning. Now, I did some research recently, actually, to find out what were the most popular girls' and boys' names over the last 90 years. I'll go back 100 years, but I don't think anybody is that old here, actually. So I thought this should cover everybody in the congregation today. So the most popular girls' names, 1934 is Margaret, 1944 is Margaret, 1954 is Susan, 1964, Susan again,
94 was Thomas, 2004 was Jack, 2014 was Oliver, and 2024 was Mohammed. Now I know my name, Paul, in Latin, is from the Latin polum, which means little. Now I'm not quite sure how that. I'm not quite sure how my parents actually decided to call me Paul. I do know that my mum used to say, "Well, if you'd have been a girl, you were going to be called Julie." So whether that meant they were a bit disappointed that they got a boy, or they wished they'd have actually had a girl, but anyway, my name was decided. And of course, your parents, aren't they, are the ones that generally decide who the name is. But of course, in Jesus' case, the names of Jesus were decided before he was born, but not by his parents, wasn't it? You know, it was an angel that told Mary, and an angel that appeared to Joseph, that told them about the various names. Now there's two names I just want to focus on today, which appear in the readings. The first name that the angel talks about, this appears in the Matthew reading, and it refers to the prophecy that Isaiah had many, many years ago, is the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, I don't know if you, I don't know if I ever think about the way that Jesus was born, and you think, well, you know, it's the most incredible story, isn't it? You know, the fact that Mary and Joseph were engaged to be married, and the angel came to Mary and said, well, look, you know, you're going to have a baby, but it's going to be before you actually get married to your person that you're engaged to, Joseph. And the whole sort of story seems sort of very improbable. But I believe that God wanted Jesus to come to earth, to be born as a human being, to be born as a man, so that he could be one of us and identify with us as men and women, boys and girls on the earth. Because in that way, Jesus is able to get very close to us and understand all about what it's like to live the sort of lives that we live on this earth. I just wonder, you know, instead of it happening the way that it did, if God's way of bringing Jesus to earth was by a spaceship like E.T., you know, can you imagine, you know, how everything would have turned out if Jesus had suddenly come down to earth in a spaceship and suddenly, you know, what would have happened there? But of course, he didn't, did he? You know, God wanted Jesus to come to earth as Emmanuel. God's presence. Jesus was God's presence with us on earth. And it's God's desire that he's with us all of the time, isn't he? That he didn't just come to earth at Christmas, but he wants people to accept him as their saviour. So that he can identify with us, know how we feel, the things that we're finding difficult, the problems that we have in our lives. You know, it's amazing, isn't it, really, that God made Jesus to be just like you and me so we could understand, you know, what it's like living on earth, you know. It's difficult, isn't it, for people to understand. I'm sure if another alien from another planet came and we tried to explain what it's like being a human being, it'd be actually quite difficult to do. But God chose to become one of us. So that's the first thing then, that God asked Jesus, got Jesus to come as a baby, to be born as a baby, to grow up, to experience all the human things that you and I experience. And, you know, looking back over his life, you can just see
you know, the way that he developed and grew up with his earthly mother and father. The second name that God gave to Jesus was actually the name Jesus, which means God saves. And it's from the same root as the name Joshua as well. Joshua. The name Joshua also means God saves, a Hebrew for God saves. So God didn't just send Jesus just to walk and talk and be among us. He also sent us to be saved as well. You know, I think it's one of the most difficult things to understand, isn't it? About how dying upon a cross can save us from our sins. You know, we would often say to people, you know, well, you know, how did you know, what's God done in your life? You say, well, you know, I've got to know him, and he came and he died upon that cross and he saved me. And people say, well, how does that actually happen? You know, what sort of process happens to make that happen? And it's quite a difficult thing to understand. And it's the faith that we have in Jesus that enables us to be saved. God sent Jesus, didn't he? Because the world that was going like it is today in further and further away from God. And God sent Jesus because of the sin that was in the world. And the sin, not only was in the world, but it was the sin in the people in the world that was causing them to move further and further away from God. So God sent Jesus to save people from their sin. So at Christmas time, it's not just a time for us to remember how Jesus came into the world as a baby and how he grew up as a child and then, but it's also a time when we also need to look forward to Easter as well, isn't it? The time when Jesus was put to death upon that cross to save us from the sins that is in the world. And I think at this Christmas time, when each one of us needs to ask ourselves, you know, have we accepted Jesus as our Saviour? You know, that's the key question, isn't it? And are we telling others at this Christmas time about the true meaning of why God sent Jesus to earth? That's the thing, isn't it? God gave very special names to Jesus to help us to understand more about the nature of God. So let's just think about that at this Christmas time. I've got a very short video to show you now, and it just goes into the different names that the Bible gives to Jesus and some of the meanings that it has, just to help us to think about who God is, who Jesus is, and why Jesus came to save us from sin.
Thank you.
Father God, we just want to praise you and to thank you that you did indeed send your Son Jesus to this earth. A world that was full of sin, a world where men and women were moving further and further away from you. And so your plan, Father, was to send a human being born as a little baby, Lord, who grew up and understood the things that you and I understand, Lord, lived in a normal home. But Lord, he grew up to die upon that cross to save us from our sin. Father God, we pray that today that you'll help us to examine our lives, to understand, Father, why Jesus came. We pray, Lord, for the world in which we live, that we can see that's no different from what it was 2,000 years ago when Jesus came. But Father, we thank you that you've promised that Jesus will return once more as King to save all those, Lord, who have put their trust and faith in him. And Lord, we look forward to that time when Christ will come again. Lord, just help us during our time here on earth to give you our faith, our trust, and our commitment, Father, as we walk with you. Help us, Lord, during this Christmas time to tell others, Lord, about the miracle of the virgin birth, about the miracle, Lord, of your saving grace, so that, Father, others might come and be saved by you. We ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing two songs to finish. We're going to first of all sing Joy to the World, and then instead of actually doing a blessing, we're all going to sing Away in a Manger then to finish, and maybe the children would like to come forward and help us sing that. So we're going to sing Joy to the World, followed by Away in a Manger. Thank you.